Christianity would have to be one of the most misunderstood religions in the world. And I probably have to say that Christians are the ones who misunderstand it the most. That we don't actually understand what this is half the time. And a lot of that comes down to actually a misunderstanding of the name, Christian. I think a lot of Christians have this very simplistic understanding that to be a Christian means to follow Christ, and therefore means to imitate Christ. Now, I don't know how that strikes you, but it brings with it a sense of an enormous burden, because can you do that? Can anyone here actually be the Messiah in the world? Do you succeed in this every day? I'm assuming not. And so with that misunderstanding comes a whole burden and a whole judgment which we place on ourselves and other people place on us as well. That I'm not good enough. I can't do this. I'm failing. You know, all the classic lines people say to us, you know, what sort of Christian are you? It's not a very Christian thing to do. It's really this is accusation that you're just a hypocrite. How could you possibly claim to be a follower of the Messiah when you're just still as rotten and sinful as I am? But it all comes down to the fact that we've misunderstood what the name means. The word Christ means anointed one. And so for you to be a Christian means that you are anointed. You are the anointed ones. That changes everything. Because suddenly it's not about what we have to do, it's about what we receive. It's not about us trying to live up to some heroic, virtuous, you know, state, but rather allowing God to fulfill a promise in us. You are the anointed ones. You're anointed by the Holy Spirit. And it's this promise of the Spirit which right from the first day of the church was the proclamation. On the day of Pentecost, St. Peter stands up and preaches before all the people. And he recounts the whole story of Christ. But he then basically says right at the end, this promise is for you. This promise that you will be given this blessing of the Spirit. And that is what will change you. You don't change yourselves. We don't go through life fighting against our sin, beating ourselves up every time we fail, trying to become something. Yeah, that would be like taking a block of hard clay and trying to beat it into something beautiful. It doesn't work. You just end up bruised yourself. It's the anointing which comes upon it, which changes it. This is the promise. And this is the bit which is so misunderstood in Christianity. The vast majority of people in this world who call themselves Christians live in this idea that it's me trying to become perfect, me trying to live up to an ideal. Where in reality it's about just opening your hands to receive the grace. This is what Jesus talks about here in the Gospel, where he says, I'm going to send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, and he will teach you everything. The Spirit is the one that will do it, not us. This whole time that we're in, this time of Eastertide, waiting expectantly, rejoicing over the resurrection, but waiting for the Spirit to come. This is the birthplace of Christianity. This is probably the most important time of the year for us, because this is where the truth of Christianity is born within us. As we wait expectantly for the Spirit to come, we invite, we call upon the Spirit. And to realize exactly what it is that this Spirit is doing. It can seem like such a vague, mystical thing when we talk about the Holy Spirit. Or we kind of expect it to be something huge and grand and, you know, dramatic. And yet the reality is that what the Spirit does is simply turn us inside out. That's the most dramatic thing the Spirit does. It turns us from living this life of the flesh to living the life of the Spirit. It's the biggest transformation we could ever experience. So to really understand what the life of the Spirit is, we need to kind of look at what the life of the flesh is. Because that's what most of us are living most of the time. The life of the flesh is really this life of perpetual frustration. Because deep within your soul, you are craving peace. You are looking for a peace that you cannot find. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about here. There is a deep disturbance. There is an emptiness, a yearning within you, and you are looking everywhere to find it. And you can't find it. That's what the life of the flesh is. The life of the flesh is this perpetually frustrating journey, searching for something that you can't find. You can fill yourself with anything you want, but you'll still find yourself empty. It's a bit like the human heart is like a bucket with a hole in the bottom. No matter how much of life you pour into it, it just drains out. You could pursue everything. You could pursue the most beautiful food. You'll still be hungry the next day. You could pursue the most amazing relationships. You'll still be craving more. I don't know whether you've ever had the experience of coming home from a long day at work and trying to relax, sitting in front of the television. You might sit there for hours and you just still don't feel relaxed. Nothing happens. Or as soon as you move, that disturbance comes back. That's the frustration that every human being on this planet experiences. And yet we don't learn. We just keep going back, trying harder and harder and harder. And as a result, we turn more and more inwards, trying desperately to fill this emptiness, turning into ourselves. And the more we do that, the more we leave behind the answer. Because what the Spirit does, in the life of the Spirit, the promise that's given to us is that God actually turns us inside out. He turns us outwards. And we find this strange thing that it's actually in not thinking about ourselves. It's in loving. It's in pouring ourselves out. That's where we actually find our peace. No one's ever really found this by themselves because it makes no sense. It really only comes to us through this revelation of God. That it's when you start to glorify God rather than glorifying yourself. It's when you start to care for the needs of others rather than caring for the needs of yourself. It's when you start to give rather than desperately trying to receive all the time. That's where you actually find what you're looking for. Now, Jesus says this in the gospel, that beautiful line where he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and overburden, and I will give you rest." And when we hear that, pretty much anyone who is listening breathes this deep sigh of relief, like, yes, I need that. I'm weary, I'm overburdened, I need that rest. But we miss the next line, which is the most profound bit, where he says, "Take my yoke upon you, and you'll find rest for your souls." Now, as a child, I always thought he was talking about eggs. But basically, this whole idea of a yoke being like the beam of wood you'd put over an ox so that it could plow the field. Effectively, what Jesus is saying is, take my work upon you and you'll find rest. It seems to make no sense. Work is the complete opposite to rest as far as we're concerned. But we need to understand, what is the work of God? The work of God is love. If you love, you'll find rest. If you give, you'll find rest. If you worship, you'll find rest. That is the life of the Spirit. What Jesus is saying here in the gospel, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word and my Father will love him and we shall come to him and make our home with him. Once again, half of you would hear that and hear that as being a burden. I'm only going to be loved if I'm fulfilling the commandments. But what actually are the commandments? Or what is the commandment? It's love. If you love, you will be loved and you will just dwell in love. That's basically what Jesus is saying here. That's heaven. That's what our soul is craving for. This is the life that God plans for us. But the key thing we need to realize here is that you can't do it. And that's probably the best news we've ever heard. This is not something we can create. This is not something you can pick up a self-help manual and think, right, love 101, how do I be a loving person? The whole point is that we can't do it. In our broken, fallen nature, we've been trying for thousands of years and been failing. No matter how many good moral teachers have come along trying to teach us how to love, it always ends up in chaos. Because we simply can't do it. Our nature is so twisted that we just can't do it by ourselves. So this is what Jesus says, I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to pour out an anointing upon you which will allow you to love. Because the anointing is love. You will be so filled with love that it will just overflow out into the world. You will find yourself desperate to love. You'll be running down the street trying to find people who need care and attention. That's the sort of madness that the Holy Spirit will bring upon us. But it's what we need, because that's where we find our joy. You know, it's when we decide to step away from that old life. And we actually need to sort of make a conscious decision. I remember when I was at university, a time when God basically turned my life inside out. There was this point where I started to look at everything I was doing, how I was living, how all my friends were living, and realizing it was just this unending pursuit of something we couldn't find. And I came to this point where I realized, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of chasing after something which isn't there. I'm not going to look where they're looking. I'm going to try and look elsewhere. I want to step away from that world because it's just making me more empty. And that was the decision which opened this curiosity to encounter the Holy Spirit. I think that's the point we need to get to tonight. To look at the way we're living, the decisions we're making, the way we're trying to strive and do it ourselves, trying to create our own path of peace, trying to carve our own life, which will bring us the peace we're craving. Realize that you're failing. Have enough humility to realize that you haven't achieved it and you're not going to. You can't find that peace by your own doing. But there, turn to Christ and call upon the grace of the Spirit. To really claim your identity as the anointed ones. Ask for that anointing of the Spirit to come upon you and just fill you with love. As St. Paul says, the love of God is poured into our hearts through the grace of the Holy Spirit. Allow that grace of the Spirit just to fill you with love. And realize that that love is just going to turn you inside out. It will turn you to a life which is then lived in love. It will give you the capacity you don't currently have. It will give you the strength, the desire to love when normally you would run out. And there you'll find rest for your souls. There you will find the peace that Christ truly gives. So let's come, in these last couple of weeks preparing for Pentecost, let's come hungry. Look seriously at the way that you have lived your life or currently are living your life. And desire something different. Desire the fulfillment of what your heart is craving for. And realize that that is what Christ comes to give you.